I've said this before, so you probably remember, but things were tough in Jesus' day. Israel was occupied by a foreign enemy, Rome, just as Europe was occupied by the Nazis 75 years ago. The Romans made a habit out of adorning major intersections with crucifixions. Roman police, by the way, were not accountable to an Office of the Independent Police Review Director, as they are in Ontario. There was financial collapse, there was poverty, there were many, many internally displaced refugees as the Romans stole the best land and villages from the Jewish people and took them for themselves. Things were very, very tough in Jesus' day. So what does Jesus do? Well, he goes to a party. A party at Simon the leper's house. A party. You know, Jesus could have organized resistance fighters. He could have set up soup kitchens. Jesus could have raised funds for widows of the crucified. But no, Jesus goes to a party. And once Jesus is there, a woman walks up to Jesus, breaks open a bottle of Chanel-grade perfume, and adoringly pours it all over Jesus' head and beard. And a hush falls over the crowd. What this woman has done is just short of salacious. It's scandalous. I don't know what the modern day equivalent might be. I had some fun trying to imagine it. But let's just say there was a party that we went to where a lady who is known to be an escort walks over to a single guest, raises his arm, and puts a Patek Philippe watch on his wrist. Extravagant, unexpected, and just plain crazy. Partygoers immediately object. What? How people are oppressed and starving and dying, and she spends money on perfume? Give me a break. At a minimum, why didn't she spend money on the poor? I mean, do you hear the righteous indignation? Do you hear the people singing the songs of angry men? And would we, should we join in the refrain? Because although our problems here in the 21st century are not exactly the same as the problems in Jesus' day, we also live in dangerous times. Our world and the future of our children and neighbors is under threat. Let me give you some examples. As I sat down to write this sermon, the top story in the Toronto Star was about a pair of 12-year-old First Nations girls who took their lives not long after their community had asked for and was refused help from the federal government to deal with the demoralization among the youth in that village. The bad news we face when it comes to First Nations in Canada, it just never seems to stop. I mean, it's depressing. But still, I mean, we all have time to party. Or again, the other top story in the paper as I was writing this sermon, other than the upcoming Trump inauguration, I'm not going there, was that for the third year in a row, the world had just had its hottest year ever. There's an increasing fear in the scientific community that world-altering and destructive climate change are actually here to stay, and it's too late to do anything but, you know, ameliorate the damage. But, you know, I hardly have to go through all the headlines for you. You know the problems: war in the Middle East, terrorism, refugees flooding into Europe, overpopulation, resource depletion, ocean pollution, massive waves of wildlife extinction, and an issue that has become much more real to me in the past few years, racism. Modern humanity is dancing on a slippery slope at the edge of an apocalyptic chasm. And frankly, it's depressing. Overwhelming. What shall we do? Party? Live extravagantly while we still have a chance? Spend on Patek Philippe watches or BMWs or vacations on sailing boats in Grenada, like Irene and I will do this March? Or will we pull out every stop for the sake of our children and grandchildren? Will we slam on the brakes and batten down the hatches and unwind the ropes that tie the hostage to the tracks as a freight train full of trouble comes round the corner? Will we do it? Do we even dare not sacrifice our ease and our pleasure to save the world? I mean, that's a good cause. Because although our problems are not exactly the same as Simon the leper's problems in his day, we too live in very dangerous times, and it's overwhelming and it's depressing if you think about it for too long. Living in denial would sure be a lot easier. But back to the story in our scripture reading, we saw that a lady we know can guess that she was probably a lady of the night, cracks open a bottle of very expensive perfume and pours it all over Jesus. The partygoers object. That's crazy, they say, and it was. People are starving, and you're spending money on perfume? And Jesus says something in response like, well, never mind, I like it. And besides, you know, you always have the poor with you, and you can show them kindness whenever you wish. What do we make of Jesus' words? Well, I mean, we need some context, don't we? And the first important piece of context is this. We know that Jesus does not ignore the poor. And Jesus did not ignore other issues that his friends and the people of his day and age faced. In fact, quite the opposite. Jesus does care for the poor. He's soon going to sacrifice his life for the poor. Day by day, Jesus is said to have healed them of their diseases. Jesus is said to have fed them by the side of the lake. He has taught them how to live in dangerous times by teaching them the Sermon on the Mount and its contents. After Jesus' crucifixion, his followers will share everything they have with each other as each has need, because they learned how to do this from Jesus. Poverty reduction, quality of life for the least and the last. I mean, this is all stuff that is a very big deal for Jesus. And it should be for us. So we owe it to our children and our children's children to find solutions to the kind of problems that I mentioned earlier. And you know what? Along the way, we dare not err on the side of selfishness either when it comes to volunteering resources to tackle these problems. You know, whether it means offering political support for difficult choices or volunteering for tax increases to pay the cost, or if it involves making lifestyle changes or using our influence at work, which some of us have, or volunteering time or joining lobbying groups or paying big bucks to shut coal plants. We dare not ignore the poor or any other major contemporary human issue. We are After all, after the example of Jesus, we're here to love our neighbors, and our problems are their problems, and love sometimes means sacrificing a lot, as Jesus sacrificed. Second, we ought also tackle these problems as Jesus did, because we're actually making progress on some of the most pressing issues. For example, I'm going to give you three or four. According to the World Bank, which is not generally known for optimism when it comes to world problems, but according to the World Bank, whereas in 1950, 75% of the world's population lived in extreme poverty. By 1981, that had been reduced to only 44% of the world's population. And at present, not 75% and not 44%, but at present, only 10% of the world's population lives in extreme poverty. Though we will always have the poor with us as a percentage of the world's population, we actually have many fewer poor among us now than even in the recent past. Or again, in 1820, by the best estimates, only 10% of the world's population was literate. Today, about 80% of the world's population is literate. That goes a long way, by the way, in explaining the reduction in poverty. Education allows people to attach themselves to the world economy. It allows them to understand their circumstances better. It allows them to contribute more efficiently. Or again, in 1800, 43% of the world's newborn, that's kids under age five, 43% of the world's newborn died before they reached the age of five. 43%. In 1950, so 150 years later, that number had been reduced to about 20%. So less than half. In today's world, however, only 5% of children die in the first 5 years of their life. That's amazing progress. And finally, perhaps this is least expected of all, while in the 1950s, and that's not that long ago, while in the 1950s about 250 people out of every million living were dying as a result of war, at present, less than 10 people out of a million are dying as a result of war. Even with a recent small uptick in the number of deaths due to war, mostly due to the Syrian and Iraqi conflicts, overall, fewer people are dying now of violent conflicts as a percentage of the world's population. Fewer people are dying now, actually, than at any other time in the past 500 years, at least. The bottom line is, though, is that even though the news cycle thrives on the latest disaster, you know, if you're watching the local news on television, it's the car accident at Finch and Dufferin, or if you're watching the international news, it's the last terrorist strike in Turkey. Still, the underlying and largely untold story of humanity over the past few hundred years, especially the past 50 years, has been one of great human progress and achievement in some very difficult areas. So we ought to tackle all the world's problems because that's what Jesus did. And we are followers of Jesus. And by the way, when we do so, we can actually make some progress. But finally, we should not neglect to party either. Because as Jesus demonstrated, We do need to make room for gratitude, like the nameless woman's gratitude for whatever thing it was that Jesus did for her that we're not told what it is. We should not neglect to party, because as Jesus illustrated by his birth, as Jesus illustrated in the incarnation, life is always a gift. It's a wonder, it's a miracle, and we need to embrace that life, enjoy it, because as in the case of Jesus, it might be short. And we should not neglect to party, because humans are created for each other. They're created for loving friends. They're created for being with neighbors. They're created for caring for family. And how better to do such things than at a party? We should not neglect to party, because in the Bible, every party that Jesus attended, from the wedding in Cana to this party at Simon's house, every party in the New Testament is a symbol of God's ultimate aim for the human race, true shalom, great joy, plenty. Parties keep us pointed in that direction. So, let's tackle the world's problems. As we have time and energy and resources and wisdom, and let's commit even to sacrificing much to make some progress. Let's work up a sweat on behalf of whatever critical cause burns in our heart, and then enjoy the aroma of success. There are sacrifices to make, but also joys to embrace. And as with Jesus, let's not skimp on either side of that equation. Amen.